come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website, and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo
at Serenity Sunday 2023
or through PayPal, Serenity Sunday 1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Robin. I'm a 100-pounder. Top weight was 320 pounds. Current weight is 175. I'm abstinent since 3/15/04. And I sponsor and am sponsored by Michael Blanc. I owe my life to the program. You hear that said a lot. And I realized I'd had it said a lot, that it was possible to become case hardened, but it's not. It's not. This is my life. And I have a life that I've been given. And I've been given a life, and I will tell you as best I can, in as specific a fashion as I can, how I was given that life. I was given it through working what we call the 12 steps of recovery. I take for my text the big book. Chad has been disabled. What is it? Okay. I take as my text the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the doctor's opinion. In the doctor's opinion, the doctor refers to an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind as being something he observed in alcoholics. Now, I take that to be true for me. Alcohol was the first thing I identified with, but that idea of allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind applies to everything across the board, to food. It certainly applies to food. I mean, my God, Lord have mercy, to chocolate. Are you kidding? Of course it applies to chocolate. It works this way for me, and I'll try to, you know, it was also methamphetamine pounding stuff into my arm, alcohol sucking bottles, reefer smoking reefer, pot, smoking pot, and I will try not to emphasize that stuff too much, since we don't emphasize, you know, what is our this program, and we're about food. To me, it works like this. If I'm in a store and I'm going shopping and I see an item, and I can say it hasn't been for a while because I've had sanity around food thus far, a day at a time, someone said to me, "Robin, you lost all this weight. How did you do it?" I could never do that. And I was blessed to be able to say, "I did this a day at a time. You can do exactly what I did. You can have exactly what I have." I do feel special, and I might tell myself I'm special, but my sponsor, Michael, told me, "You remember that you have what you have a day at a time, provided you are willing to talk to other compulsive overeaters." Now, I go through and I see an item that strikes my fancy. I won't be specific here, but usually in the form of dessert. And I'll think, "Oh my goodness, dessert." And it will lodge itself, the way I think of it, lodge itself in my mind. And I will find myself thinking about it on the way home, to the extent of, "I wonder if I could eat that and not gain any weight." I mean, not specifically those thoughts, but I wonder if I, would it be okay? It's unfair. It's unfair. I'll call Michael and he's going to let me know that it's okay, because I'll put it to him. "Damn it, I just want, I mean, I don't say this much recently, but I just want a little bite. It's not fair." It's not, something to that effect. And he'll remind me that what I have is a day's reprieve. What do we say in program? Contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Meaning, I acknowledge that I am powerless and my life had become unmanageable. I'm powerless over my addiction and it's messing with my wife, my life, my wife, messing with my life. I will suffer emotional disturbance if I decide that it's okay to tempt fate and go ahead and get the dessert and have it in the refrigerator. And, you know, and this is going on currently because my wife's not in program, but we got dessert. We got a lot of dessert, you know, and it's not a problem. I can say it's not a problem. And I celebrate that fact. I mean, who knew? Who could imagine? It's not a problem. A guy like me, I mean, I'll tell this to people at my, I go to Kaiser, very nice. I love doctors, but I'll, "How did you lose the weight?" I'll tell them and they'll say, "Well, you must have a lot of willpower," and I'll not waste a lot of time being specific. I'll say, "No, it's 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. You send your people, give them my number." I might share my number, you know, maybe. But that's as far as I'll go, because I know that they can't hear that I've achieved something miraculous, which is a reprieve from an insanity. I would steal food. I would steal food from my wife's refrigerator. And, you know, I've only been abstinent 3/15/04. I've been married since April 2nd of 1983, I told the, if it doesn't take, I'll tell them it was a joke. That was the stupid kind of alcoholic humor I used. But I've been sober that long. I don't take it for granted. But I would tell my wife, oh, you ate it. You just don't remember. You don't remember. You ate it. You know, and then I'd giggle. Like I thought I was the cutest thing on God's creation, acting like a damn idiot. I mean, you ate it. Who creates this kind of fiction? I don't have to do that anymore. And when I repeat routines like that, that's what they call gratitude. I have gratitude. It was never a moment having this disease where I say no, where it's not too late to show gratitude. Now, I was born a compulsive overeater. I'll walk through it because I don't want to get caught in what it was like. My brother and I, my darling brother, back and forth between my sister and my brother. We used to drink barrels of white sugar, brown sugar, and whoever could finish the box the quickest, we judged to be the winner. I mean, oh God, we're both still alive. And he's alive and I love my brother. And my God, God has given me a man who is one of the greatest examples of what it is to be a man that I could ever find next to my program friend, John. Okay. I sobered up. I went to my AA meeting. And not the AA meeting, I'll say my first OA meeting. I don't know the address, schoolhouse in Glendale, an afternoon meeting. I said to the lady, is this a place I can learn to lose weight? You know, very arrogant tone to my voice. I can remember that. And she said, let's talk after the meeting. We'll talk. And so what she said to me was, what'd you think, Robin? What'd you think of the meeting? And I still can remember pissy tone. Well, I came here to learn how to lose some weight. I don't have an illness. That stuff's kind of effing insulting. You got a good thing here. I started advising, but it'd be better if you, and then I started giving her advice about what would be better if they, someone who, my first OA meeting, I was sober for a couple of months in AA, and my mom said, there's something called OA, and it's got women in it, and sick puppy that I was, I didn't need to hear anything more than women in it. Okay, well, I'm off to the races. And that was my first meeting. I went to an OA meeting. And the lady said to me, can I make an offer? You see those people leaving? You saw they're gone now, but you see them. They left with something you can have, Robin. You can have hope, and that hope is you can be helped. And I started to cry, and I sort of took it with me behind my shield of arrogance. And you can be helped. That stayed with me. Why don't you try eating your chocolate bars every day, just a little bit? Every day for the next 30 days. And if you can just take a bite of the chocolate bar come back here and we'll refund your misery. I think it says something about booze somewhere in the AA meetings. We'll refund your misery. And about a month into it, after trying, I thought, cursing, and I'll spare you my cursing. The lady was right. I do have a problem. I admit I have a problem. God, what the hell am I going to do? And then it occurred to me, there's meetings I can go to if I have the problem. And I'll say to anybody out there listening, there are meetings you can be helped. The best words I've ever heard in my life, you can be helped. I don't know that I could hear anything better than you can be helped. Anyway, so I went in, I worked, I went through sponsors. My first sponsor said, Ron F. said, try to be a good example. I blew him off. My next couple sponsors, I blew them off. I had a sponsor who went through being sexually molested, and I read my molestation paper to him, and I cried so hard during that I was hyperventilating through boxes of Kleenex. And I remember shortly after that, I blew him off, and eventually I wound up with the guy I got now, Michael B., who will push, he'll push but will not shove, because he knows exactly the kind of treatment I need. That he'll be firm, he'll be very firm, but he'll guide me. And what, you know, I remember once, one of the most crushing things that happened, and I managed to hold on to my abstinence no matter what. I think I've suffered some crazy stuff. I got into a car wreck, and I lost my job on Christmas Eve 3 years ago. This happened, and I called my boss up, and he said, we can't use you, Robin. So I was fired Christmas Eve. I called Michael up, and he said, maybe it's your higher power's way of telling you you shouldn't drive. Just suggested. I'd had my license suspended for a year, and so far I haven't tried to retake it. Although every once in a while it burns inside me that I don't drive and I feel like less than a male. So that's something I need to work on, because I don't drive and that means I'm less than a male because I can't get around. And that I don't intend that as self-pity, which to me a part of me thinks it sounds like. I don't drive, and there are steps, there's a higher power. God, what would you have me do? That's what I do when I have this confusion and this pain that won't leave me alone. What would you have me do? God, I can't hear you. I can't hear you, God. I'm scared. I'm scared. And it tells how to morning when we wake up, we ask, good morning, God. This is how I wake up. Direct my thinking. It's on page 86 of the big book. That it be free from self-pity, self-seeking, and dishonest motives. And imagine that I would be given a geographic outline for how to greet the day. I mean, that's a miracle. That's really a freaking miracle. Self-pity, self-seeking, and dishonest motives. I feel sorry for myself. They're doing it to me, and I'm freaking lying about all of it that comes my way. You know, so life is a tumble. I'm 32 years or whatever it is. I lose track. January 11th is my anniversary. And I don't know how to talk about my marriage. A lot of it involves listening and knowing when to compromise and saying, what I say about God when a sponsee confronts me and says, it's a mess. It's a horrible mess. And you don't know the truth. You don't know the truth. I'll say, you know what? Maybe you're right. I don't know the truth. I don't know what the truth is. All I know is what I'm doing works for me thus far. And I stick with it thus far because it works for me thus far. And it includes not arguing with people, including my darling wife, when she'll back and forth about being in program, and not the most popular thing for me to be doing, but that's as far as I need to talk about my wife. Anyway, it's I feel like I'm a lucky man because I've been given the keys to navigate my way through daily, what's the word? I think that, my sponsor will use Jewish words, and I don't want to seem like, but Soros really seems like the shit, if I understand it. We navigate our way through the shit. And that seems like that's a, really, if anyone's offended, bear with it and deal with it, and you can write an inventory about it. It's okay. It's I've given you a gift, but or maybe I haven't. What do I know? This Bill Wilson had his emotional ups and downs. He's our grandfather of AA.
Hi.
He wrote a article, so Emotional Sobriety. It's in Language of the Heart. Check it out, Emotional Sobriety. Well worth it, about the problems he underwent. That's all I have to say. Thank you so much. I love this meeting. I really love this meeting. I worried, hell, anyway, my topic, the promises. Someone said to me, whatever, and I found myself reaching for, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. I used to put a knife to my throat and say, not that sharp, I won't do it today, which is horrible melodramatic bullshit, but it also saved me from committing suicide and thinking about suicide. And that's all I have. I'm done now. Thanks.